bum.
Drop the beat.
Welcome to another episode of Where in the Folk. I hope everybody's had a great weekend. I see Landa and Mike beat us to the punch in the chats here. How you guys doing? I hope you're doing swell.
You guys are early. Cecil called me late and it was only 6:58.
It was 6:58 and a half. Mike had already started commenting.
Hey, I'm punctual.
So, how's your week been, Tucky?
Dude, it's been busy. I've had a lot of, just insert complaints about work. But how have you been?
I've been just fucking swell. The video that I've got here. Oh, shit.
Yeah, Mike, I told folks to post on Facebook that we ended up having to push that show to this week. We're doing Folk and Weird tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern. We're going to be going to Souls Chapel, which is a cemetery that's supposed to be extremely haunted. We've got a family graveyard, Cecil's family, actually, in Manchester. And then we're going to show you guys Cumberland Falls.
Yeah, it's in Leslie County, but same thing.
But
yeah, it's going to be awesome coming around. Well, I thought somebody had posted that we had to delay it, but sorry.
I said to, but I don't have any insight into the Facebook stuff.
Yeah. But I hope you sent me the right video because I'm looking at it right now. We're going to start off with part three of What's Going with Bowen. As you know, we talked about this early on when we came back and started doing the live.
We've talked about it twice now.
Yeah, there was a whistleblower who was unalived mysteriously after he came out with some details about safety regulations and things about that with Boeing. So would you like to tell them a little bit, or do you want to go into the video? I think this video
was if you go look at our other videos, so the first whistleblower got killed. His lawyers even said that he wasn't suicidal. It was ruled a suicide in very mysterious circumstances. And he was the main whistleblower in this case against Boeing. And, if you know anything about what's been going on, their planes have been falling out of the sky or not able to even get into the sky with all these issues. And I think it's the Air Max specifically that's having all these problems. And the only thing standing between them and walking out of this scot-free are these whistleblowers that are coming forward and saying there's all these factory problems that they're just not paying attention to and don't want to spend the money on.
Yep.
So the video that I gave to Cecil to kick it off is a video from the first whistleblower that got killed. Hey, Nick. But yeah, go ahead and play that one.
All right, so this is the fellow, and right here it's a minute long, so buckle in, motherfuckers.
One, this is not a 737 problem, it's a Boeing problem. When I first started working at Charleston, I was in charge with pushing back defects to our suppliers. I'd take a group of inspectors and actually go to the supplier and inspect their product before they sent it in. Well, I'd taken a team of four inspectors to Spirit AeroSystems to inspect the 41 section before they sent it to Charleston. And we found 300 defects. Some of them were significant that needed
300 defects
intervention. When I returned to Charleston, my senior manager told me that we had found too many defects and he was going to take the next trip. So the next trip he went on, he took two of my inspectors. And when they got back, they were given accolades for only finding 50 defects. So I pulled that inspector aside and I said, did Spirit really clean up their act that quick? That don't sound right. And she was mad. She said, no. Said the two inspectors were given 2 hours to inspect the whole 41 section and they were kicked off the airplane.
Yeah. So Spirit that he's referring to is the sub company of Boeing that makes their parts. So he was the main whistleblower. He was found dead before he could, you know, try to take them down. And this week, another Boeing whistleblower who raised concerns about one of the carrier's suppliers ignoring production defects again, died suddenly this past Tuesday, just 2 months after the other one. Joshua was 45 years old. He was a former quality auditor at Spirit AeroSystems who was just mentioned in the video. And he died Tuesday morning from a fast-growing, mysterious infection. Not my words. It was apparently a mystery infection that they hadn't seen. And Dean had reportedly been in good health up until about 2 weeks ago when he was admitted to the hospital. And at this point, I'm just like, who's believing this? I mean, like, I don't know, man. It seems like anytime anybody goes up against the mega corporation, or, you know, we've seen it time and time again, you invent the wrong thing, or you try to cut into their profits. That's really the big, you just go away.
Well, it's the same thing every time, man. And every time we bring up conspiracies, everybody's is like, why? Why would they do this? It's money. It's power. Money equals power, even if it's a false currency, which is what we're starting to look like now.
If these whistleblowers were to have been allowed to testify, it would probably have bankrupted Boeing. And these problems that keep happening, it's like every other week now, you're seeing something wrong with these Air Maxes. And you know, all it would take is that to be live in court. And then imagine they're doing this court case with the whistleblowers and all of a sudden they have another problem.
Yeah.
And they're toast. So, of course, they're not going to make it to court.
And, you know, the sad thing is we've probably not seen the last person kind of go in a mysterious way out of this whole thing. We'll keep looking into it. I mean, it seems like anytime we're like, we're done with that, something new happens.
Nothing to see here, Stephen.
Agreed, 100%. But yeah, that's what's going with Boeing this week.
Yeah, so. I'm sure they'll be back up here. You know, it seems like right now, every 2 weeks, we're having to cover something from Boeing, whether it's more problems or them killing people, allegedly. You know, nothing we say is to be considered real.
Yeah. You can
figure stuff up yourself.
We're not lawyers or doctors or nothing like that.
What does South Park say? This is all parody, and any names or people mentioned is just a complete coincidence.
Exactly. This week I only brought one thing to the news story to the table this week. Do you want to get into Mr. Glenn Sullivan?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, so this week in our piece of shit of the week, it was a guy named Glenn Sullivan. He's a 54-year-old who is pled guilty, again, man, I don't know what's going on, who has pled guilty to 4 counts of second degree rape in Louisiana. He's now proven guilty, and actually Nick John is the one that provided me with this story. I didn't even look this one up. Thank you, Nick.
Thanks, Nick.
So he's proven guilty of raping a 14-year-old girl on several occasions and impregnating her. Sullivan groomed the child, threatened violence against her and her family when she came forward. Now, the good news is Sullivan was actually sentenced to 50 years in prison. And if he ever does get out, which is unlikely, he'll be over 100 years old, he has agreed to be physically castrated. That's apparently something that they can agree to if they're caught molesting children now in Louisiana. So, I mean, I personally hope that he kind of gets, like, they're like, oh, we messed up, and they let him out for a day, but they castrate him, and they're like, no, we didn't, and throw his ass right back in.
I don't know, dude. I think any sentence is too light for somebody like that.
I do too.
Like, it's Like, that stuff isn't curable. Like, yeah, maybe he will be dead, but there's so many people out there like this that are under sentenced and they're young and they get back out and repeat offend because there's no cure to pedophilia, you know? Yeah.
And this is the face of what I call evil, and that's the piece of shit of the week and soon to be castrated.
Yeah, Landa, I agree.
Yeah. I mean, really, at some point, they're going to have to decide, because they can do the chemical castration now as well.
Yeah.
They can do the chemical castration as well. I think it should turn into a situation where it's not an option.
Well, I mean, they're already doing chemical castration with a lot of the stuff that's in our food.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's why birth and fertility rates are so low.
I agree with that. But yeah, that's the piece of shit of the week. Old Glenn Sullivan. Write him some letters. Tell him to go fuck yourself in prison.
Yeah.
Yep.
That'd be good. Yeah, I agree, Landa. Landa said it should be with a butter knife instead of chemicals.
I think they should use a piece of paper.
or like do it and provide no anesthetic or antibiotics or anything, and it's just like, if you live, you live, you know.
Yep, I agree.
But this is a little bit lighter. So we told you a couple weeks ago that DARPA and Northrop Grumman are supposed to build our moon train in a few years. they're spending $1 trillion to put a train on the moon, as you know, if you've watched us the last few weeks. So DARPA and Northrop released the first images this week of the Manta Ray underwater drone during in-water testing. And this is it. And Mike, I know you can't see. So it's in the shape of a manta ray. And it's probably, there's a boat behind it, a pretty sizable boat, it looks like. This thing's probably, what would you say? It doesn't really give specs. I'm sure you can find specs.
That boat's probably 10 feet wide. So this is probably 40, 50.
Yeah, like 50 feet wide, wing to wing. And so it's called an uncrewed underwater vehicle, or UUV. It's described as a new class of UUV. The Ray is an extra large glider designed to undertake extended duration, long range, and payload capable undersea missions without any on-site human logistics. So basically, think unmanned sub. So it showcased the tail section of the vehicle in darkness to conceal certain intriguing details. So I guess the photo was edited. Similar to the approach taken by Northrop and the U.S. Air Force with the highly anticipated B-21 Raider bomber, the prototype recently underwent comprehensive full-scale testing off the coast of Southern California in February and March 2024. And according to DARPA, this test phase focused on evaluating the vehicle's hydrodynamic performance in real-world conditions, which I'm sure included lots of battle testing. So, you know, that's just one more step toward super modern warfare where, you know, like the Navy's subs, you know, may be obsolete pretty soon. As far as, you know, battle and war subs go, you know, why send a manned sub into battle when you could send, you know, a 50-foot unmanned drone to fire off a bunch of missiles, torpedoes?
Well, you know, in the grand scheme of things, this is where I might lose some people. I kind of prefer them moving to things like this if we're going to be fighting anyway. Like, because, I mean, it would be less loss of human life.
It would just be, so once we get to, like, Terminator level, to where it's just a bunch of robots on the field of battle.
Yeah.
It's literally going to be who has the most money.
And we win. We already fund our military more than the next 10 countries combined. So, yeah.
I agree with what you said, Stephen. Landa said the moon train's going to have a stupid sponsor name. I hope so.
I hope it's Cricket.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, sponsored by something stupid, like just ignorant.
Each train will have something on it, like McDonald's.
Yeah. The peak of human existence. We put a McDonald's ad on the moon.
That would be the completion of Idiocracy, really. That's where we're headed. So that kind of plays out, right?
Yeah. Chuck E. Cheese moon train, Mike said.
I believe it. I don't know how they're going to get something on something that's liquid anyway.
Yeah, the whole DARPA and Grumman thing it keeps coming up from week to week. It seems like they're into a lot right now with military tech. And, you know, I know you guys have probably seen the robots in the last few weeks. We haven't really brought any of those stories, but, you know, there's been a few different robots unveiled in the last few weeks that is definitely Uncanny Valley. And it's like Cecil said, I think we're moving toward a space where if these entities have enough money, you're going to see robots and unmanned, you know, everything on the battlefield. And it's literally going to come down to who can make it to the other country with these items to attack physical people at that point or physical locations.
Yeah. I mean, it's a weird situation. And, you know, ever since we was little kids, they told us that eventually all the wars are going to be fought with robots and stuff like that. And, you know, we've seen it in the cult classic Terminator 2. I don't know. It's kind of scary in a way because, you know, they're trying to pump artificial intelligence into all of these robots.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, it reminds me of, what was it? I just totally had a brain shutdown. Kaczynski?
Yeah, Ted Kaczynski.
Yeah, it reminds me of the stuff that he said. Like, you know, obviously, you know, we don't condone the kind of things that he, like the way he needed to get his message across, but the stuff he said back in the 70s about all this was very interesting. If you go back and look.
It does look better than a soda can and an Xbox controller, but I have to correct you, Nick. It was a PlayStation controller.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, people poke fun at that. And I think it was meant to be funny, honestly, when that rolled out. But because of those people, because of that expedition, they've cut off all expeditions to be able to go see the wreckage of the Titanic. And I think that was very much on purpose.
Yeah.
Because they never expected, I think when they blew it up in the teens or 20s?
1912.
I think that when they blew it up, they never expected anybody to be able to get down to it. And I think if you had just a public crew, that it would be very obvious that maybe glaciers didn't make sense for the story of why it went down, or even that it was the Titanic for that matter. I know there's a lot of people who challenge that.
That's why I was getting ready to say the paint's probably wore off and it says Olympic now or whatever the name was.
But yeah, I think that was calculated or at least taken advantage of at the very least.
I mean, it's pretty strange that the sister ship suffered some damage, didn't have any insurance, and Rockefeller was supposed to be on the Titanic and he was the one getting, you know, the insurance money and things. And for some reason, he just didn't make the trip. Like, it's kind of strange.
All of the people who opposed the Federal Reserve died on the Titanic. They had all, basically, that was like a perfect storm to where they could get all the opposers on one ship and make money off the ship itself, like the insurance and everything like that. And what's even crazier, apparently one of the people who died in that sub was like a great granddaughter or great grandson or something to a Titanic survivor.
Yeah, I forget their name, but yeah, there was a distant direct relative. And, you know, I understand that, you know, it's kind of weird that they would do something like that, and it's not like they would do that in modern history unless you look into Masonic Airlines, with all the people that were important on that plane that just randomly disappeared.
Oh, yeah. It does still happen. They definitely take advantage of situations like that. You know, there's a theme here to shut people up. Or if you have patents that may endanger profits, I don't even know. I don't even know if going public would help.
No. That's the reason I don't fly or take boats, because stars fall out of the sky and fat people. But
Mike said that there's rumors that the one that sunk was actually the Britannia.
I think that was the name. It was the sister ship of the Titanic.
I think it was damaged too, right? And you said it was uninsured and stuff.
Yeah, there's old photos that actually show the gash in the front of it, like before they even took it. They probably like put aluminum foil over or something. Well,
and I think very similar to, you know, some of the strangeness that you see with events like 9/11. I think whenever that took place, there were people that talked about an explosion, like people who were survivors from the ship. So who knows? I mean, we'll never know, but I do think that there's a reason that they don't want you to go down and see for yourself what it looks like.
Well, the boiler room did explode, and that makes all the sense in the world that a boiler room would explode whenever water's rushing in.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not an engineer, so I can't really speak on it. Maybe I need to look into it more.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I'm not even just speaking for us. Like, I'm just talking about the general theories that are out there on, you know, Reddit threads and everything else. Like, there's a lot of people that doesn't believe the glacier thing.
I fully believe it was a Tartarian piece of equipment that they were getting rid of. So,
you know, I just did a TikTok video of the Eye of the Sahara. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah. It's the big rings out in the middle of the Sahara Desert. They think that it's Atlantis or.
Yeah.
Some people say it was just like how the water eroded whenever it was still there. Whatever.
So that place is very peculiar. Because they determined that it wasn't created by a celestial event. And you can go there and you can fly over it in hot air balloons. You cannot get on the ground at the rings.
Why not?
Because it's locked down. And guess who's using it?
NASA. Yeah. Let me guess. Using those rings, Alania. They're using it to get ready for a trip to another planet.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
And how many times have their pictures actually been from somewhere on Earth, like the pictures they put out? Yeah. So if you look in the Eye of the Sahara, some of the rings are this deep red color. And they say that they're using it to train for Mars. And you're not allowed to go there. You can't go. But I saw a comment on the TikTok that was like, maybe that was the impact point for the Great Flood.
It could have been. I love how they're like, you know, the middle of this is red. Mars is red. Well, just train there, dude. Like, I mean, they're both red.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very interesting, but... if you guys don't watch the TikTok, we're always posting cool videos there. You know, as long as it's still up and, you know, taking money away from the other social media platforms.
Yeah. Well, they got 1 year to sell before this ban, so
it ain't gonna happen. I don't think the ban's gonna happen either, in all fairness.
It'd be TikTok sponsored by the NSA.
Oh yeah, for sure. And you know what's funny? Common misconception. Well, there's a few common misconceptions. So TikTok's data. So you remember last year they did a similar thing with the ban, and I think probably the few years before that, I think the last president even tried to ban it. And when they did all that, TikTok was like, "Oh, okay. Well, your problem's with data, so we're going to house our data in Texas."
Yeah.
So there's no like sending of data to even foreign countries, which is more than you can say about any other social media platform.
Yeah.
The problem here is that they, our overlords can't make money off the selling of that data. You can track, you know, Facebook's metadata back to, they're selling it to all kinds of people. Same with all the other social media platforms. In your vehicles, for that matter, OnStar, whether you pay for it or not. But I'm just rambling.
I wish I could find that damn video of that guy whenever they were attacked. I guess they were going after Martin.
Yeah, does it connect the Wi-Fi or whatever?
No, whenever he's like, so this, you can make money off this data. So you guys are collecting all this data. My question is, how do we get the money?
Yeah, yeah, that was a literal question from Congress. How do we make money from this? And here's the problem that everybody should be thinking about. If all of our leaders can't agree on anything, and they unanimously vote to do something, they can't even agree on making our food without chemicals, or, you know, they can't agree on basic healthcare needs or anything.
No,
but they agreed 100% on something. You can bet your ass that it's because of money.
Yeah. They're always disagreeing with each other. Some people say you sit backwards on the toilet. Some people say you sit frontwards, you know, whichever way it goes.
Highly contested.
Highly contested.
The next thing we got, though, is pretty cool. We wanted to show there was a big eruption this week of a volcano in Indonesia. So this is just some context before he plays it. It's from Mount Ruang, the latest mighty eruption on Tuesday. And you can hit it.
Oh, I will.
Jam 8.30. Looks like a nuke went off.
Menyemburkan asap.
I'd be able to run faster because I already greased my britches. Yeah, that's scary. It kind of reminds me of that bonfire we had that one time.
Yeah. So that is displacing some 12,000 locals that are living there, including the islands of Ruang, nearby islands that I can't pronounce, because of ash surges, pyroclastic flows, and landslides. And they're anticipating maybe a tsunami if part of that mountain collapses into the sea, but it's a 2,400-foot volcano, and it's become particularly active. It was in Indonesia, Landa. It's become particularly active in the last month. The last powerful eruption was just on April 16th. So it's blown up like that twice in the last month.
God, that sucks, man. I mean, there's not much you can do about volcanic activity throughout the world.
Yep. How much are they taxing it for all the pollution?
Yeah.
You know, like Steven said, what about the Green Deal? Like the
AOC out there like, hey, motherfucker, you need to stop putting all this ash in the atmosphere.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I believe in climate change. I don't think that throwing your plastic rings in the recycled trash is going to save the planet. They've actually come out and said that they can't recycle a lot of what you put in there anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it's like that. There's a rapper, Tom McDonald. I don't really like him much anymore, but he has a line that says, we traded plastic straws and paper for paper straws and plastic. Like, what's the deal, you know?
Yeah.
But I about volcanoes, I was watching a video earlier, and this guy was like, you know, the water in the ocean's cold, right? Well, if the center of the earth is hot, then why isn't the water boiling? That means the center of the earth is an ice cube. So what comes out of volcanoes, huh? Ice. I was like, what the fuck?
Most logical schizophrenic conversation.
I was like, I believe this guy for some reason.
Landa said that there were 2 earthquakes in Texas this week.
Great.
There was a guy that got, like, back around the eclipse whenever all the big earthquakes were happening. There's a guy that got took off YouTube. I can't remember his name. He doesn't predict, like, in the sense of, like, magically predicting stuff. He's more of a forecaster. And he said that the next big earthquake in America was going to be in the Carolinas.
In the Carolinas? What fault lines in the Carolinas?
I'm not sure. But while he's looking that up, another fun one for the week, technology related. So Ukraine's foreign ministry introduced an AI spokesperson. So a newscaster modeled after a Ukrainian influencer. And it's actually Ukraine's Ministry of Foreign Affairs. They've introduced a virtual spokesperson to announce consular updates on behalf of the ministry going forward. The virtual representative is called Victoria Shi and was created in the likeness of Rosalie Nambre, a Ukrainian singer and media personality of presumably mixed heritage, born in Donetsk, who garnered popularity among Ukrainians as a participant in basically Ukraine's Bachelor series. She agreed that the use of her voice and likeness is pro bono, according to the Ministry of Truths, I'm sorry, Foreign Affairs press release. So I'll ask the audience a question. Why do you think that it would be beneficial to eliminate humans in news?
Dun dun dun. I think
there's no more wild cards. Like, you're not gonna have, you can't whistleblow if you're not real.
And you're not gonna have the random meltdown that happens every so often either. You're like, these motherfuckers. Yeah. I've seen a couple of those. They're fun.
Yeah, I mean, even like there's no ethics with AI in this way, because you can just model it to go on and say whatever you want it to say. It's not gonna be like, what you're saying is a complete lie and this goes against my morals as a person. And that's terrifying, especially, you know, why do you think the first place that they put it is the Ministry of Foreign Affairs to have an AI spokesperson?
Yeah, no shit. I don't know, man. Everything's so fucked right now. Like, every day something new is out, and it's just like, what the fuck? What's going on? I love meltdowns too, Landa. Keep watching. I'm sure I'll have one day. typically in that 2-hour period, I can hold my shit together, though.
What all do we have going on this week?
Tonight on Weird Awakenings, in about 26 minutes, we're going to be covering Strange Yellow Noise. And that's Weird Awakenings on the Weird Realities Network.
Yep. So if you are watching here, or if you're watching on Rumble, you can go to Weird with a Y, WYRD Realities, on Facebook, Twitter, I think YouTube. Yeah, YouTube. And we'll be live talking about the, you know, paranormal, cryptids, all kinds of stuff about Illinois coming up.
We still got a little bit of time left. We should go over this this 200 phones thing.
That's a big one, dude.
We can get through it in 5 minutes.
I know where the points are if you want to talk about it. You want me to hit it?
Yeah, go ahead and hit it, because this is interesting.
So
I've kind of been out of the loop on what's been happening with this whole thing.
So this is something that has been on our list for a few weeks now. We just haven't had time to cover it. And this is a, not a lot topic by any means. So this was something that ran that was very interesting a few weeks ago. So clues from 200 phones over who visited Epstein Island was the headline. And it was a trail of data that was collected over 3 years that points to homes and offices in 80 American cities, including possible accomplices who enabled him to abuse girls. So this is a big story, but I'm just gonna hit it. So the data was amassed by a company called Near Intelligence, a location data broker roiled by allegations of mismanagement and fraud, which this is going to be a continuous theme, because in the court system right now, they're really trying to keep this from coming out, like the specific homes and offices. So it reveals with high precision the residences of the guests of Little St. James, where Epstein was accused of grooming, where he groomed, assaulted, trafficked countless women and girls. Some girls who prosecutors say were as young as 14. So who is Near Intelligence? Before a targeted advertisement appears on an app or a website, phones and other devices send information about their owners to real-time bidding platforms and ad exchanges. This is also very messed up if you think about it. So this is what your phone's doing. Frequently, including users' location data, if you have your location turned on. While advertisers can use this data to inform their bidding decisions, companies like Near Intelligence will siphon, repackage, analyze it, and sell it, to basically creating a profile about you as a person that they can sell to foreign entities more times than not. Officially, the data is intended to be used by companies hoping to target you as a customer. But in October 2023, the journal revealed that Near had once provided data to the U.S. military.
Yeah.
Via a maze of obscure marketing companies, cutouts, and conduits to defense contractors. Bankruptcy records reviewed that in April 2023, Near Intelligence signed a year-long contract with another firm called InContext, a subsidiary of the popular defense contractor Sierra Nevada. InContext secured 6 federal contracts to provide data in support of national security, the NSA, and defense counterintelligence and security agencies. And according to information released during a $100 million funding round in 2019, Near claims to have information on 1.6 billion people in 44 countries. Near Intelligence filed for bankruptcy protection in December, reporting liabilities of approximately $100 million less than a year after being listed by NASDAQ. And basically, it was caused by multiple executives who were engaging in a concealed scheme to cheat the company out of tens of millions of dollars. And one of those former executives has filed a claim against that company alleging defamation. So Near Intelligence has since quietly resumed the operations under the same leadership that initiated the bankruptcy proceedings, rebranding itself as a newly incorporated entity called Azira. So Kathleen Wells was one of these people that was a part of both companies, and she was speaking on behalf of Azira. She acknowledged that Near Intelligence had deliberately collected the data on Epstein Island for its own purposes. Wells declined the multiple invitations to whoever was writing this to discuss the data that was collected and which prospective clients may have created the report of Epstein Island and what purpose it served. Now, however, 11,279 coordinates show a flood of traffic to Epstein Island's property, or Epstein's Island property, nearly a decade after his conviction as a sex offender, but also point to as many as 166 locations throughout the United States where near intelligence infers that visitors to Little St. James Island either lived or worked. This data cache also points to cities in Ukraine, the Cayman Islands, Australia, and others. Near intelligence, for example, tracked devices visiting Little St. James from locations in 80 cities across 26 U.S. states and territories, with Florida, Massachusetts, Texas, Michigan, New York topping the list. The coordinates point to mansions, gated communities in Michigan and Florida, homes in Martha's Vineyard and Nantucket in Massachusetts, a nightclub in Miami, and the sidewalk across the street from Trump Tower on Fifth Avenue in New York City. The coordinates also point to various, and who owns Martha's Vineyard? I forget.
A lot of people own land on Martha's Vineyard. It's just a place.
Like, a lot of politicians though, right?
Politicians, just rich people in general.
I thought one of the presidents had a place there. I could be wrong.
They all chill out there.
So the coordinates also point to various Epstein properties beyond Little St. James Island, including his 8,000 acre New Mexico ranch and a waterfront mansion on Palm Beach, where prosecutors said in the indictment that Epstein trafficked numerous minor girls for the purposes of molesting and abusing them, probably using it for blackmail. Near's data is notably missing any locations in Europe where citizens are safeguarded by comprehensive privacy laws. While many of the coordinates captured by NEAR point to multi-million dollar homes in numerous states in the United States, others point to lower income areas where Epstein's victims were known to have attended school and lived. Most of the clients, this is from an attorney who represented one of his victims. Most of the clients who come to me, their number one concern is privacy and safety. It is deeply concerning to think that any sexual abuse victim's location will be tracked and then stored and then sold to someone who can presumably do what they want with it. The fact that they have this data in the first place and are allowing people to share it is disturbing. Director of cybersecurity, I just don't know how many more of these stories we need to hear in order to get strong privacy regulations. So that it's focusing a lot on the victims. And yeah, I agree. The victims' data shouldn't be shared. But if we know we have 11,000 coordinates over 80 cities, 26 U.S. states, that should be like, I mean, that should be all over the news. Like, we know who potentially the abusers were. Like, why isn't anybody going after these people? And we already know the answer, right?
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing about it is that they know exactly who has been there, who did what. Like, at this point, they know everything. And they are intentionally hiding it from us. And I agree with you, Nick.
I don't even know that VPNs would help. Like, you know, the deeper you go into how they're collecting all this data, it really, like, VPNs would help you on your phone and stuff. But, you know, you can't install a VPN on your car speakers if you have a car newer than 2014.
Yeah, and Mike has a point. I ain't going to show it, but if you read his last comment, I'm pretty sure that's where that one person got unalived at that particular
The chef that drowned. Yeah, that was in Martha's Vineyard. So yeah. there is some peculiar stuff. I mean,
there's a lot of people that live on Martha's Vineyard or have homes there, though. So
that's true. I just think it's crazy that this company holds a profile on the abusers, and nobody's doing anything about it. And we know it. We know that they have it. So
they come out with the names. Like, I mean, with P Diddy, we get names constantly. Like, it's the same situation in a way, you know.
But it ain't. There's too many powerful people involved in the Epstein stuff. You know, political blackmail has been around since the beginning of time. This is a form of it. And it's interconnected with the government. Yeah, I don't know if you missed the part where I said that this company that holds these profiles literally have defense contracts.
Yeah.
So we know that they have it. They're not doing anything about it. And, you know, the people that are high up in these agencies, it is not in their best interest to go after these people because they'd be, you know, chasing their own tail. Like it's them. They are. It's like Spider-Man pointing at himself in that meme.
Yep. Well, we'll leave you on that great note. but like I said, we have Weird Awakenings coming up in 15 minutes from this moment on the Weird Realities Network. Weird with a Y because we put the Y in weird. Ain't that how something like that?
We got Folk and Weird tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern. Also on Weird Realities, you can go to Twitter, YouTube, Facebook for that. And, you know, what Folk and Weird is, we go out and collect footage from historic places. There's a bunch of us. Next week, I think we're doing Yazoo, Mississippi. But we get footage and we react to it together. So we don't watch the footage until we watch it with you. And if we catch something crazy on camera, we can all react together. Otherwise, we just see cool places and talk about it.
Yep.
Same on TikTok. If you do TikTok, Folking Weird is the handle, Weird with a Y. You know, I'm posting videos about stuff on there. The most recent was the Grabovoi Codes. If you don't know who that is, it's basically a modern day Rasputin, which we should talk about sometime because it's a crazy story. Apparently, this guy can raise the dead. So again, modern day Rasputin. But he goes to raise the dead in 2004 of the school that was bombed, and it apparently turned into a pet cemetery situation. They put him in prison over it.
Yep.
But anyway, if you're watching and you haven't subscribed or followed us wherever you're at, do that because we're here every week bringing you the sauce. And you know, we've got some stuff in the chamber too to talk about ad nauseum.
Yeah.
Big topics, you know, historic stuff. We do stuff like that sometimes. All of our catalogs on BitChute. I think that's everything. Come over in 10 minutes and talk with us about strange stuff in Illinois.
Strange stuff in Illinois. And thank you for watching us because we're watching you.
Goodbye.